This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Good morning. I'm Ann Holliday along with Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ann.
And as always, if you have a question for Bob, give us a call at 368-9372. You can also send us an email at garden@wesb.com, or you can go to facebook.com/WESB1075. We're not on Facebook Live, but there is, you'll see a nice picture of Bob and some flowers, and just leave us a question under that photo, and Bob would love to answer your questions.
Darn right.
In the meantime, before you call or email or leave us a message on Facebook, Bob's going to talk about pruning.
Yeah, pruning. And I'm going to start with the one we all have to prune, our lawn. So I want to start there. And your lawn, when it's raining at least an inch a week, is going to grow a quarter inch a day. So in a week's time, that can mean inch and three-quarter, inch and a half around that area. It's going to grow. That's not a big concern. There are some of us that don't mow every single week. We let our grass grow and then cut it down. And the rule, a good rule to go by for grass is you should not mow it below 2 inches high. Grass has to have all that leaf there in order to photosynthesize, strengthen the root, keep the grass nice and green, make lots of chlorophyll, so on. So, I'm trying not to lecture people that cut their lawn short, but then in a way I am. So those guys that think they're going to mow their lawn short so they don't have to mow as often, that doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. Still, it doesn't matter how short you cut your lawn, it's still going to grow that quarter inch a day. But if you don't cut it so doggone short, and I guess I am starting to yell, not or lecture, it's going to remain green, and a lot of other things are going to happen. The roots are going to become stronger because there's more leaf blades of the grass there, so they can produce more photosynthesis and chlorophyll, keep it greener. They're going to shade out the soil so it doesn't dry out so fast. We will come upon that time. Also, they shade out the soil so a lot of the weed seeds can't germinate. Mm. And so we don't get as weedy as we would when we cut that lawn real short. A lot of things with keeping your lawn at least 2 to 3. I like to keep mine at least 3 inches long. And it stays nice and green that way. I never have to water. Very seldom do I have to get rid of any weeds in the lawn. I'm not the only one. And I know a lot of guys are going to say, especially the golfers, are going to say, well, up at the golf course. So I have to correct you there. The golf course is a whole nother plant. It's grass still, but it's a different type of grass. And they care for it in a way that you can't at home. They're fertilizing constantly, putting herbicides down constantly. They have to mow for the golfers. Don't treat your lawn like a golf course because it's just way too much and it's almost impossible to do. So let it grow. It's only going to grow back a quarter inch a day. You'll have plenty of time. Even if you skip a week, it's still not going to be difficult to mow the next time. And another benefit is leaving your cuttings there. Don't bag them up and carry them away. Those cuttings that remain on your lawn will deteriorate or rot down and become fertilizer for your lawn. So you have to add less fertilizer. I'm sure everybody's heard all this, but I think it just needs said again.
Some people may not have. There might be brand new homeowners today. You never know.
Yeah, you're right. So for those brand new homeowners, especially if you put in a brand new lawn, you want to let that grow to 3-4 inches tall before your first cutting. And then let it grow again before you cut again. Those first three or four cuttings are real important. Do not cut it too soon. Let it grow, because the root system is only going to be equal to the top growth. So if it grows grows up to 3 or 4 inches, the roots will penetrate down 3 or 4 inches. Mm. If you always keep it cut at 1 or 2 inches, you're going to have real short roots. And, of course, that starts to put the plant under stress, so that if we all of a sudden do get a week with no rain, it has trouble finding water then, because it has such short root system.
Okay. I know another reason to keep your lawn a little bit longer. It's more fun to walk in if it's a little longer.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is indeed. Yeah.
Just something I remember from being a kid, walking barefoot in the lawn.
Yeah. But one of the big things is with keeping a longer lawn, 3-4 inches tall, is less weeds, less watering, and of course, it'll be a darker green. So all those things really add up a lot to make a lawn look good. And okay. If you have a lumpy lawn, like a lot of us do, with maybe some ruts or dips in it, you know, keeping it cut short all the time, really those show up real well. If you keep it a little longer, your lawn 3 or 4 inches tall, it all seems to look like a nice flat surface then.
I never even thought of that, but yeah, okay.
So for us guys that don't want to go out there and fix every little dip and bump in our lawn, keeping it longer, it looks better that way.
Way easier to let the grass grow than make your lawn level.
Yeah, yeah. But now there are exceptions, and there's exceptions to every rule. And just because I say this is the way you should do it, you know, doesn't mean that that's the only way. Some guys do cut their lawn, you know, below 2 inches, and they got a beautiful lawn. So if it works out for you that way, fine, keep going. But another thing to think about is if you do have weeds in your lawn and they start to get up there tall because Bob didn't mow this week and they start to flower, that's a good signal you better mow, because once they start to flower, next they produce seeds and then they'll drop all those seeds. And so that one weed becomes 100 weeds next year. So if you see weeds there and flowering, then get out there and mow.
Okay.
Break the rule and don't wait. Just go out there and mow. Get rid of those flowers that become seeds.
Okay. All right. It seems like there's an exception to every rule.
There is. There is. There really in gardening, there's like a 100 different right ways, you know, and I'm just mentioning the most popular ways.
Okay. All right. If you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372. That's 368-WESB. You can leave your question at facebook.com/WESB1075. You'll see a picture of Bob there. Just leave your question in that thread. And you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com. All kinds of ways to get a hold of Bob, and he just loves to answer your questions.
So
get in touch with him.
Another thing we need to think about pruning this time of year, and maybe not, is a lot of the spring blooming shrubs that we have, like the rhododendron, the forsythia, and the lilac. They may need some pruning. Now, again, I'll state that again, that some of us don't like to prune our shrubs, or can't. And that's okay, too, to let them go natural, let them become what they want to become. But then there's others of us that like to keep them nice and neat and rounded or square or pyramidal or any shape that we want. So it's a perfect time to prune those spring bloomers, because they're done blooming now. They're going to start making their buds, flower buds, for next year. So if we prune now, they still have time to make buds to flower next year. If we wait too long, then they've made their buds, and then we're going to trim off those buds, and then we don't have as much flower next year. That's just with the spring bloomers. Summer bloomers are going to be different. So one of the big ones I get asked a lot about is, you know, the rhododendrons have gotten out of hand. They're too tall now. And a rhododendron is very forgiving plant. A rhododendron is an evergreen shrub that has lots of blooms this time of year. They're beautiful all over Bradford. As a matter of fact, one of the best years of for blooming that I've seen in a long time. But sometimes they need prune. And very forgiving. We can prune them back anywhere we want as long as we leave at least 50% of the leaves on the plant so they can still make food for the roots and food for new growth. And wherever we make that pruning cut, the rhododendron especially has what we call adventitious shoots underneath the bark, all underneath the bark. So even if we take a stem and cut it down to where there's no leaves left on it, new buds will appear within a few weeks underneath that cut that we made, anywhere we made the cut. You don't have to be particular about it. New buds will occur, and also, and not just one bud, it'll be two to three buds. So not only are we trimming it back so it's not so tall, we're making it thicker. And ideally, that's what we want with our rhododendrons. Most of the time, there are other ways, too, where sometimes we want to prune our rhododendron into making it look like a tree form. Mm. And that's fine, too. There's nothing wrong with that. And that way, when we're talking about the tree form, we trim off everything lower and just leave those leaves way up on top so that it looks like a tree. And it can be pretty pleasing that way, especially for those rhododendrons that have gotten out of hand, maybe 10, 20 foot tall. maybe it's time to just make them into trees rather than shrubs.
That's a good idea.
But when you do that, though, remember that you've let a lot of sunlight in there to the root system. So it can dry out quite quickly. So if you do make them into a tree form, then do a real heavy mulching underneath to protect that soil from drying out. Rhododendrons do like a bit of water, so don't let them dry out that way. But if we're just trimming them down from a 6 foot down to a 5 foot, we don't have to really worry about that. We're still leaving plenty of shade on the soil because rhododendrons do like a little bit damp and cool. Cool soil is the important one. So keep that in mind there, that the mulch is going to help keep the moisture in, keep the soil cool, and that'll benefit the plant quite a bit.
Okay. All right. And if you have a question for Bob about pruning your lawn or your rhododendron or anything else that he hasn't talked about yet, you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB. Or you can go to facebook.com/WESB1075, or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com. And while you're doing that, we're going to take a break and hear from our friends from Worth W. Smith, but we'll be back in 30 seconds.
What's new at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware? Now in stock, a big supply of culvert pipe. 6-inch to 36-inch diameter in 20-foot lengths, perfect for drains, driveways, and other drainage uses. Also new at Worth Smith, smoker pellets for your grill, comparable to the premium brands at a much lower price. And remember them for everything from Cabot stains and house paints to patio blocks, railroad ties, and treated lumber to mountain pie makers. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris. I'm Ann Holliday along with Bob. And if you have a question, you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB. You can go to facebook.com/WESB1075. Or you can send us an email at garden@WESB.com. Take her away, Bob.
Okay. So I talked about the spring bloomers and the lawn. Now I want to talk about the evergreens. Or any plant that we grow not for its flowering effect. Evergreen plants, those are plants that hold their leaves or needles all winter long. That's an evergreen. Now, the plants that an example of some of the plants we grow not for their flowers, because just about every plant flowers, are like the burning bush or barberries, some of those that are privet hedge. We don't really grow them for their flowers. So they can be pruned at any time. But there is best times and then there's times when you can get to it.
Not so best
times. and that's what's nice about the evergreens. We really don't have to stick with any timing, but the best timing is up to about July 4th. They're still going to put on a growth spurt. And then come July 4th, they're going to really slow way down. They're not going to have any big growth spurt from there on in. So if we do our pruning from now up to July 4th, that the shrub is going to stay that size the rest of the year for us. We may have to do a little bit of nipping in the fall before winter comes, because once in a while, I always call them a wild hair, will grow out of place, you know, so we can tidy it up just with a little nip. But for the major part of the pruning, if we do it by July 4th, we should be good for the rest of the year. And there's no set rule of where you prune the evergreens or the non-flowering plants. You can prune them anywhere you want for that size and shape. I do recommend let them grow a little bit, though, each year. We don't want to, let's say, get a juniper that's 3 foot tall and try to keep it 3 foot tall forever. It will make the plant suffer because all plants got to grow some, make new needles, and make new growth to keep healthy. Now, we can do it for a period of time. You know, years we can, but eventually we got to let them grow out a little bit. So make sure you choose the right plant for the spot, one that isn't going to be hard to manage and cause you to be out there pruning constantly to get away from a little bit of work there. But the evergreens and the non-flowering ones, now I'm not talking about the ones that produce berries. If we want berries on an evergreen or some of the ones that we grow not for flower, we got to be careful of when we prune them, though, too. I'll use one example. There's a deciduous holly that we grow around here. Very nice shrub. It loses all its leaves in the winter, but it does produce a lot of berries. So if we ran out there right now and started pruning it, we'd be pruning off some of the flowers and some of the berries, so that we wouldn't get that enjoyment, because they'll hold their bright colored berries, and usually orange or red, all winter long, and the birds will enjoy them a lot. So keep that in mind, that if it is a plant that produces berries, maybe we better time our pruning a little differently.
Okay.
Or again, just let them grow out natural. Let the plant be what it wants to be.
I like that idea myself.
Ends up in my yard. A lot of the plants, they just do what they want to do, and I'm fine with that. You always got to do a little pruning, no matter what. Got to prune out the dead wood or the ones that get out of bounds where they shouldn't be. You got to prune there a little bit. But a lot of times we can, if we've chosen the right plant, you know, if we want a 3 foot tall plant, make sure we get a dwarf plant that's not going to grow over 3 foot. And then we don't have to do any pruning. We can let that plant be what it wants to be.
As long as it's not infringing on your neighbor's yard, everything's fine.
Yeah, true. So one last thing I want to take care of is the annuals and vegetables we put in. Some of us put them in a little early. Some of us are just planting now. But for those people that put them in a little early, they've been in their one spot. They're starting to grow. So no doubt they're hungry. Now's the time to really think about fertilizing, not even just think about it, but do it. Especially some of those annuals like the petunias, lantanas, and verbenas, they grow really fast and really big, and so they take extra fertilizer. It's almost impossible to over-fertilize a petunia, but it's well worth getting them on a fertilizer program. So a good way to go about it is I'll fertilize them once, and then the next two waterings, I'll just use water.
Okay.
And then again, then the next watering after those two, just water, fertilize them. That's one good way, and that you'll keep them flowering well, growing well. They'll last longer, they'll just be a much more beneficial plant that way. So feed them at least once a week or every third watering, or One other way you can do it is if it's hard to keep track of when you fertilized, when you didn't, mix your fertilizer only half strength, and then you can fertilize every single time you water.
Oh, okay.
If it's just half strength. But we don't want to do full strength every time we water, because with the fertilizers, a lot of that will build up in the soil and not get flushed out, and it can tend to over-fertilize plant, can harm them a bit. So either do it once every third watering or half strength every watering. And that way you'll keep those plants real nice and strong. And now the vegetable garden, there's two theories on that. If you want a nice big tomato plant with lots of fruit on it, go ahead and fertilize it. Tomato plants are what we call garden pigs. They eat a lot. They eat a lot of water. They eat a lot of food. So don't be afraid to really fertilize them. But now on the other side of the coin, if we don't fertilize our tomato plants as much, maybe a little bit here and there, when they start to get a little yellowish, they need something, or we just forgot to water them enough. Don't fertilize a dry plant. I should mention that too. You can really cause a lot of damage. But for some of us that really want a tomato that's full of nutrients, then let the tomato plant get those nutrients out of the soil rather than the fertilizer.
Okay.
Now, we may not have as big a tomato plant or as many tomatoes, but that tomato we eat is going to be healthier for us than the one, especially an example, one from a grocery store. And I'm not bad-mouthing grocery stores. They're grown on farms where they fertilize the bejeepers out of them so they can get their crop going and sell it quick. And then you can grow one at home in just your garden soil, good garden soil, with no fertilizer, and it'll be really full of healthful nutrients. So much so that a lot of tests have been done that one of yours that you eat is equal to five from the grocery store
shelf.
Holy
moly.
Yeah, those are, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're grown very quickly. You can taste the difference even.
Oh, for sure.
The one you grow at home tastes a lot better than the one from the grocery store shelf. So if you really want good, healthy vegetable garden, slack off on the fertilizer a bit. Let your plant absorb those natural minerals and nutrients that are in the soil that you're going to reap the benefits from.
Okay.
But if you want to show that you got the biggest tomato plant in town, then go ahead and fertilize it.
It's just like everything when you're gardening.
Yeah.
It depends on what your goal is. So if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372, 368-WESB. Or you can send us an email at garden@wesb.com. And I thought we had a question here on Facebook, but I can't find it. Oh, well, if you do have a question, you can also send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/WESB1075. So, Bob, take her away.
Okay. Now, with fertilizing trees and shrubs, since I'm talking a lot about fertilizer, there's two ways to go about that. Some people like the fertilizer shrub to get them to grow up fast because we bought a small plant, and then some people don't fertilize at all, just like all our forest that we look around here, nice and green and thick and lush, with no fertilizer. One of the things that can happen when we fertilize a shrub or a tree is it can force it into a growth spurt that can be real thin and tender wood, so that it doesn't have the capability of, when it does flower, of holding up those flowers and making faces. And of course, then the branch.
I'm not making faces at Bob.
No.
I'm making faces at Facebook.
Yeah. So those fertilized trees and shrubs can grow a little bit too fast, makes thin, weak wood. It doesn't necessarily always happen. You know, some of us don't have ground that's real good. So we have to fertilize the tree and shrub to supplement its diet. Most of us, a tree and shrub, we really don't have to fertilize unless it's really showing signs that it's not growing well. And again, the fertilizer can cause damage by forcing growth that isn't strong enough to make it through a flowering season, or even more so, through a winter season. So we really don't want to fertilize and force feed that shrub into growing real thin wood that's not going to be strong enough to get through a winter.
Okay.
So again, you can choose, you know, what works for you. So I know some people say, well, I fertilize my arborvitae every year and it grows nice and dark and green. And that's fine. But there are others that fertilize and then all of a sudden through the winter here it is bending over, doing a back bend. And now you don't know what to do. So just be careful.
Okay.
I guess is my advice.
All right. And if you have a question during the week, you can always send an email to garden@wesb.com, and I will pass that on to Bob. You can give me a call. I'll pass that on to Bob, too, or send us a message through Facebook. No matter how you send us a message during the week, I will pass it along to Bob on Saturday, and he will answer your question. So, Bob, thanks for being here
again.
You bet.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week, and thanks to Worth W. Smith.